All right, our next speaker is Wednesday Shorten, and she will talk about lead distribution that is correlated with urbanization in the Chicagoland area. Welcome.
Alrighty, hi everyone. My name is Wednesday Jordan. I'm an undergraduate student at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point. Thank you for having me here. I'm really excited to be there. I'd also like to thank Brian Scherenbrock for working with me on this project. The title of our study is Lead Distribution is Correlated. Is this better? Is this okay? Okay. Alrighty. Should I start back over? Did you guys hear that? We're good. Alrighty, so the title of my presentation is Lead Distribution is Correlated with Urbanization in the Chicagoland Area. I was really excited to do this research because I'm also from the Chicagoland area. So, why is lead a problem, especially in urban soils? 15 to 20% of children in U.S. cities will be affected by lead. A study in 2007 found that children who were affected by lead tended to have poorer IQs, slower reaction times, and more inattentive behaviors. The same study also found that children were affected at all concentrations of lead. The EPA states that soil lead concentrations cannot reach higher than 400 parts per million in children's play areas. It is naturally occurring between 25 and 50 parts per million. Soil lead contamination is commonly found from leaded paint fallout from buildings, along with combustion of leaded gasoline, and also other industrial processes. It's relatively immobile in the soil, so we can find highest concentrations in the first 5 centimeters. A 2001 study by Marcus and McBrantney compiled all of the data up until that point on all of the national and international lead distribution studies, and they found that 22% of all these studies looked at national or large-scale studies. Most of the studies that have been conducted were landscape studies, such as Schwartz et al. In 2012 that looked at Baltimore, Maryland landscapes and yards. They also found that they had higher concentrations of soil lead near buildings. But there is a lack of regional studies, which we define as 3,000 to 30,000 kilometers, which leads us into our hypothesis. So the goal of this study was to get a better understanding of regional scale soil lead distribution on a mixed land use metropolitan area. We were looking to see if we could find, if we could understand if urbanization factors can be helped to determine the lead or soil lead concentration in this particular area using already made city planning maps and regional planning maps. So we predicted that soil lead concentrations will be correlated with specific urban factors, and we define those as distance to road, distance to highway, distance to building, distance to Navy Pier, which we also defined as our urban center. We also predicted that areas with higher percents of impervious surface area will have higher lead concentrations, and our most city or industrial use, which is our commercial, industrial, transportation, utilities, and vacant land uses, will have the highest lead concentration. So this is our study area. We define Chicagoland as these 7 county regions, which include McHenry, Lake, Kane, DuPage County, Cook County, Kendall County, and Will County. Our samples were stratified by land uses within the region, and then within those land uses, we selected our sample sites. We tried to have an equal number of land uses in each county, but each county doesn't have the same amount of land use. So in Cook County, we didn't have as much agriculture as we did in DuPage or Will. So we selected 190 samples between those. So these are examples of our locations. We had forest, which was our most natural system, moving on to agriculture, park, residential, and then our commercial, industrial, transportation, utility, and vacant lot being our most industrial and urban use. We verified all of our sample locations. We did look at the Chicago urban planning map, regional planning map, but we did field verify all of our locations, so they are accurate. Our field sampling was done on a 5-meter radius plot nested inside a 11.3-meter radius vegetation plot. Our study was part of a larger iTree study monitoring trees in the Chicagoland area. A 10-core composite was taken to a depth of 20 centimeters with an oak field corer, and that was then sent out to the lab. Our samples were dry, sieved, and ground. Samples were then digested with trace metal nitric acid in a microwave digester, filtered through a 0.5 micrometer membrane and diluted with DI water. Digests were then analyzed with an ICP to determine total lead concentrations in our soils. Our impervious surface area was used on ARC maps. We were using the Chicago Regional Planning maps to determine our land uses. We put a 50-meter radius window over the sample location and used that area to determine impervious surface area. Oops. Sorry, I skipped over one. For our statistical anion, we ran regression analysis to determine relationships between our urbanization factors and our soil pH or our soil lead concentrations, and we also ran a regression relationship on a percent impervious surface area and soil lead concentrations. We also did run an ANOVA with a Tukey-Kramer separation test to determine our soil lead concentrations across land uses. So this is our first graph. We have soil lead concentrations on the y-axis and our distance to Navy Pier on the bottom. So we did that in kilometers, and we had a strong log relationship between our distance to Navy Pier and our soil lead concentrations. So we use Navy Pier as our urban center because it is any direction except for east, because the lake is there. You go from the most urban to less and less urban and more suburban and natural areas. So we did find that it had a very strong relationship, and it was a significant relationship with our urban center and our lead concentrations. As we move out from that, we go towards our distance to highway versus our soil lead concentrations. So our relationship is still significant, but it's not as strong as our previous relationship. About 15% of all of our samples were over 100 parts per million in soil lead concentration, but it's still a strong relationship, and this is still a very valuable tool to look at in future looks or uses. And then we move on to more of a landscape level. So our first two were more of a regional large-scale look, and now we're moving towards more of a landscape kind of look at soil lead distribution. So we have soil lead concentrations versus distance from road. For our measurement, we still have a very significant relationship, but it's not as strong. Of all of our samples within 100 meters of a road, only 12% were over 100 parts per million, so that's pretty good. And then our distance to building, it was a lot less strong for our study. We found that only 11% within 100 meters of a building were over 100 parts per million, but it's still a significant relationship. For our percent impervious surface area versus our soil lead concentration, we found that it had a pretty strong relationship with our areas with higher percents of impervious surface area. We did find that it was significant in those that had 100% or closer to 88 to 100 had pretty high soil lead concentrations. This is the ANOVA that we ran on our land uses. So we looked at agriculture, which had a mean of 32 with a label B. We had our city use, which had a mean of 118 ppm, our forest, which had 38 ppm, our parks that had a 76, and our residential that had an 82. So we found that our CITUV, our most urban land uses, had the highest concentrations versus all of the other land uses, especially when we looked at our more natural systems, which were our agriculture and our forest systems. Fortunately, all of our mean values were below our 400 parts per million line that's permissible by the EPA, which I have also labeled on our graph here. But we did have 6 points that were over that permissible level. So those 6 points, 50% were found in our most urban land use, which is what we would expect based off of this value. But our other 50% were in our more moderately urban land uses, which are park and residential. So those are pretty important and definitely significant in our study as well. So we did find that soil lead concentrations were correlated with urban factors. We found that our relationship between distance from Navy Pier as our urban center had the highest R value, so it was like our best method of measurement there. We also did find that soil lead concentrations were correlated with high percents of impervious surface area, and we did find that the CITUV land uses had the highest, were significantly higher than our more natural uses, which were our forest and agricultural uses. A study done in 1998 also looked at some of these urban uses, but they were doing it on more of a landscape level. But they also found, when they looked at distance to road and types of road, that they found higher lead concentrations near those as well. Our hopes is that these metrics could be used to help predict where soil lead concentrations will be using existing land maps that already exist through planning departments in metropolitan areas. We hope that this information could be used to help locate areas where soil lead concentrations would be high, and also put our remediation efforts, testing efforts, and education efforts in those areas where these concentrations would be very high. As far as future studies go, it should be looking more towards these regional scales mapping in other metropolitan areas where there's a need to kind of figure out where soil lead distribution is in these more urban environments. These are my sources. And I'd like to thank the USDA Forest Service, the Tree Research and Education Endowment Fund, the Morton Arboretum, and the University of Wisconsin. So we didn't look at any age of structure, and we didn't look at historical lead distribution. We do think that most of where our, or what we were looking at was mostly trying to decide where using current data that we could find, so we didn't take into consideration historical.
I would go back and talk more about this. There's a lot of smelter sites in that area and industrial sites in that area. They're really point sources. They're a better predictive problem than this distance to highways.
I agree.
I actually had the same question.
Yeah. Yeah. We probably would if we had looked at the age of the structure. I know a lot with the highways in the city also, they've been expanded, so some of that could have also been capped and covered with just highway expansion and removal. So we didn't really look at that for this study, but that would be another way or another place for future research to go on with that, is to look at those historic and age distributions.
Just to comment, most of the point sources that you referred to were in East Chicago. You did not sample over in Indiana, did you?
No.